Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I am today's host, Vanessa Lowry. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book that they've written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. Our co-host for Right Here, Right Now is Stone Payton. He's a vital cog at Business Radio X with his own show, High Velocity Radio. Good morning, Stone.
Good morning, Sunshine. It's good to be back in the studio with you.
I know. It's always a fun thing when we get to hang out together and be on air. So,
yeah. So
I'm glad that you're here this morning. We also have Dr. Tim Morrison, who's the regular host of Right Here, Right Now. He's with us today, but he's on the other side of the microphone as a guest. Good morning, Tim.
I'm allowed to talk?
You're allowed to talk.
Oh, okay. Good morning.
Tim said he's not going to talk till I give him permission to talk. So thanks for being here, Tim.
Sure.
So our topic for today's show is uniquely qualified to tell your story. We're all a unique combination of our experiences, our relationships, and our attitude. Articulating this perspective into a published book can be a catalyst for starting or for growing a business. In the first half of today's show, we'll talk with Diane Bogino, author of Finding Your Bootstraps, 11 Steps to Overcoming Victim Thinking. She transformed her experiences of an abusive childhood and misfortunes as an adult into a life that is thriving and successful. In the second part of today's show, we'll talk with both Diane and with Dr. Tim about the new initiative being implemented by the Georgia chapter of the National Speakers Association to assist its members in writing and publishing their own books. To start, let me tell you a little bit about Diane. As president of Performance Strategies, Diane Bogino helps organizations diagnose and solve problems within leadership and management, such as time management, customer service, hiring, retention, performance improvement, employee engagement, and training. With 20-plus years in human resources and as co-founder of the highly successful Provino's and Scalini's Italian restaurants, Diane understands how to help individuals in identifying developmental skills necessary to improve productivity, job satisfaction, and success. She's also the co-founder of the Georgia Business Directory Network. Diane is a member of the Society for Human Resources Management, which is SHRM, and of the National Speakers Association, which goes by NSA. Diane is a member and the incoming president of the Georgia chapter of NSA. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you.
So, Finding Your Bootstraps, which is your book, is not written from classroom knowledge. It's really written from your own experience of overcoming victim thinking. Can you share with our listeners some of the challenges that you lived through?
Well, as a child, we were taken away from our parents, and we were placed in foster welfare homes, separated from my two brothers. And in these homes, I was once, in the first home, I was sexually abused by a guy who wanted to play doctor. And in the second home, three sons sexually abused me. In the third home, the father sexually abused me. One of the homes, the woman beat me. And so naturally, from all of that, I suffered a great deal of low self-esteem and did not blossom until my late 30s.
So what was your reason for sharing your story and publishing this book?
I did not want people to go through the mental trauma that I had gone through from the abuse. I thought I was worthless. I thought I was useless. I thought I had no talent. Which some people say is true today.
But we know that's not true.
But I just didn't want people to go through that mental anguish, and I wanted them to learn how to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and to move forward in life because, as Bonnie Daniger says out there, there's so much to go through to challenge yourself and to overcome so much to contribute to the world today.
Well, and I love that in your book you have a little definition of bootstrapping. Can you just share a little bit about what that is and why you titled your book Finding Your Bootstraps?
Right. Well, there was a friend of mine who said, yeah, everybody's always telling us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, but nobody ever tells us where to get those bootstraps from. And when I was growing up, you know, we didn't have any of this self-help stuff. We didn't have any place really to turn. There was no therapy, you know. No help really for people who are going through trauma like that.
And so one of the definitions for bootstrapping is like improvising your life.
Right.
Exactly. And coming up with, you know, what works, you know, what makes it work for you.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. There is no perfect way to go through life, and there is no manual to tell us how to do that. And we have to figure it out on our own. And one of the things that I learned to do was to make choices. First of all, I knew I didn't want to be like those people that raised me.
Right.
And I didn't want to be living in poverty like when my aunt and uncle took me. I mean, when I came from a middle-class home in Virginia, when I came to Atlanta, my mother had accidentally killed my father in a domestic dispute. She was sent to prison. I was going to be put up for adoption, but they couldn't get any takers. So I was sent to Atlanta to live with my aunt and uncle, and there I was with an outhouse, an unpaved street. You know, my clothes and toys came from the Salvation Army. So I made a choice. I don't want to live like that either.
Right, right. Well, and I know in your book you outline 11 steps to overcoming victim thinking. Can you share a few of those steps with us?
Well, one of the things that people fail to do is to do in life what their passion is, what they love to do. And people, they can travel back in their mind to the time when they were about 6 or 7 years old. What did you pretend to love to play when you were a child? For me, it was a teacher. But since I didn't have the opportunity for education, and in fact, I didn't go to college because I thought I was too stupid to get into college. And so for me, I hustled my way through my work life and got to be a trainer. And that fulfilled that need for me for teaching. And it worked for a lot of years. And I still do it. I still love it. So you can think back, what did you love to do? Life is too short not to go through life doing what you love to do.
Well, and I know in that chapter, there's actually kind of just 6 statements that people can look at and rate which statements draw them the most and which they are least drawn to. And based on that, you give some suggestions of, you know, some types of careers that they might not want to do or they might like to do, which I think is really very helpful because sometimes we get stuck in our own little perspective and we don't even see what the possibilities are.
That's right. That's right. I know the Yellow Pages aren't so used so much today, but people can actually just thumb through the Yellow Pages and look at companies, look at things that people do and say, oh, I'd love to do that. Well, I wouldn't do that if you paid me double, you know. And it really does help you to sort things out. So it's a very simple exercise.
Right, right. And there's one of the steps, which I thought was very interesting, is talking about overcoming fear. Mm-hmm. And fight the fear factor and be the hero of your life. I love that, be the hero of your life. And you actually give folks some steps of how to do that. Can you talk a little bit about that? How to become the hero of your own life?
Right. It's really basically the bottom line is working through it. For example, I never had a driver's license. I got married and got my driver's license at age 25. And I would get physically nauseated thinking about getting in the car to drive. I mean, I would actually get physically sick at my stomach. And I would say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to quit this. I'm not going to do this. And I just would force myself to get into the car and drive. And people can do small steps. Mm-hmm. For example, one time in my first marriage, my husband did not want us to have credit cards. And I decided one day, I'm going to have a credit card. I went into Rich's store, and I started walking toward the escalator. I was going to go up and open a charge account. And I turned around, and I started walking out, and I said, you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't buck your husband, you know. And so I said, Diane, if you don't do this now, you will never do it. I turned around, I went up the escalator, and I opened a charge account. Now, that may seem like a very small thing, but for me, it was very traumatic. That's how down on myself I thought I was and did not have the right to do anything. So take small steps. Conquer something small first and start building on that. And I assure you, once you do that, you will grow and continue and conquer every fear.
Well, and I think it is interesting that the way you've structured your book is all about steps. And mm-hmm. So it's like you said, when you just make a small step and you realize that you can do that, it really opens up the path for other steps.
It does.
When I was a kid, I mean, I learned to drive when I was, you know, 15, 16, but my mom likes to tell the story that I grew up in this very small town of West Virginia. And she said, you were so funny because when you were learning how to drive, you said, well, I'm going to learn how, but I'm never going to like it. And she said, and then 2 weeks later, you were like, can I have the car? Can I have the car?
That's right.
So it didn't take long for me to get over that small step.
That's right.
You know, once I actually knew what I was doing, I was like, okay, I can find my way around. So
it does. It gives you courage, and you build that courage that every little thing that you do. I finally went and got my undergraduate degree, and I'm now getting my master's degree. So you really can build and push yourself into doing what it is that you really need to do to enjoy life.
And it doesn't matter what time of your life you do that.
I hope not.
Well, I think that your life is a good example of that, that you can learn new things and try new things at any point in your life, and it opens up new avenues for you.
Absolutely.
Because you make those steps.
Right. I see people that, for example, don't get involved in technology. And so they don't understand the value of email. They can't, correspond with their family, keep in touch with their friends. And when you fail to keep up in life like that, it really does hurt you.
Right.
And it's exciting. Every new thing that comes down the pike is exciting, and you really need to learn a little bit about it.
Right.
Social media, for example. I never thought I would be doing that, but I am. I also maintain 3 websites. My husband has taught me how to do that. So.
And you're a video producer with your Georgia Business Network. So,
right.
So I'm interested how you were able to take your personal transformation and your story and translate that into this 11-step guide that helps other people. What was the process for you to actually create that book, create that manuscript?
Well, actually, when I started writing the book, I was writing a book on humor, believe it or not. And so I sent the book to someone, and he said, "You've actually got 2 books here." So I separated the books. I wrote the humor book, and then I wrote the boots book. And when I sat down to write it, I just kind of, pardon my French, but vomited the words on the paper, because the story itself just came out. But I had to sit down and say, "How did you do this yourself?" That's what you need to tell other people. And so I went through the steps that I learned. Like, if you go in my office, I've got probably every self-help book that was ever published. And I learned so much from those books, and I took the things from those books that helped me, that I could do, that I knew I could do and conquer. And so those, I gleaned steps from that, and then the other steps that I did, for example, I did modeling and commercials at one time. And
I know you won Magician of the Year
for
Atlanta, Georgia.
Right, yeah, for Greater Atlanta, yeah. And that also gave me a lot of courage, I mean, to find myself up on the runway for Riches and having a gentleman in the audience say, "You really look good in that dress," for somebody who thought I was really ugly, that nobody would even want to ever look at me, that was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So again, overcoming a fear and putting yourself out there, if you don't put yourself out there, it's not going to happen.
So was there some sort of a catalyst that happened that you said, okay, now it's time to write this book?
Yeah, all my life. I mean, really, I had been wanting to write it all my life. And my current husband is a great fan of mine. He has encouraged me, and I finally got the courage and conquered the fear.
It's nice to have a cheerleader.
It really is, and everybody needs one, right, or two, or in my case, a dozen. But he gave me the courage to sit down and made me realize that people do want to hear what I have to say. And I thought, well, only women are going to buy this book. But I actually gave it to a gentleman friend of mine, and he had it sitting on his desk at home, and his son came home from college. His son picked up the book and started reading it and took it back to college with him.
Oh, really?
So I was, again, encouraged that the book was useful for not just women, but everyone.
And different age ranges.
Absolutely.
Not
yes,
so specific.
Right, exactly.
I know Dr. Tim and I talk a lot with our clients about, you have to determine who your target reader is, but there's always going to be peripheral people that benefit from your book as well. You
That's
have to
true.
Write it to a target market, but other people are going to benefit from it. So
right, that's
it's
true.
Nice when that happens.
Absolutely. And you never know where that's going to come from, and you never know where opportunities are going to come from. I just really get aggravated with people who sit at home and say, well, I don't know what to do, or I don't know where to go. Well, if you don't do something, nothing is
right.
going to happen.
Right. Well, and in the chapter where you talk about building your self-confidence, you challenge your readers to walk tall, which I think is cool. And you give some examples of people who dismiss their talent and have no appreciation for their skill. And it seems to me that a lot of potential authors don't appreciate the power of their own stories and the impact that could make on people that would read their stories. You certainly are uniquely qualified to share this story of overcoming victim thinking. What kind of response have you gotten from people that have read your book?
Well, I've gotten a lot of good, positive response from it. People say that it has really made a difference in their lives. I mean, you can't live long enough to have that sort of a meaningful experience to really help other people, because that's the reason I wrote the book, is not to give your time and your energy and your resources to bad things in the past. Learn mm-hmm. from them. Like I said, I don't want to be like those people. I don't want to treat my children like I was treated, you know, should I ever have any, and I did. Of course, they all have a different story, I'm sure. But but you know, I mean, my daughter's getting her PhD now, so I must not have done too bad, you know. And right. my son manages the restaurant. But, yeah, it's you just really have to understand that your story can touch so many lives. And one of the reasons I didn't write my book was because, for a long time, was because I didn't think my story was that bad. And it really isn't compared to some people's stories.
Well, compared to some people's stories. Yeah. It is really bad to compare yeah. to other people's stories.
But it certainly isn't the American dream of a life either.
Dr. Tim wants to add something.
Sure.
Here.
We're talking about your life story. The book is very good.
Yes, right.
It's the life story that wasn't so bad, or was so bad. Okay? We need to differentiate.
That's right.
Because as I'm
Thank
sitting
you.
Here listening, I'm thinking, oh, no. Oh, no, the book is good.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Tim. Yeah, we're talking about your life story, which was the basis right. of why you wrote the book. So,
right, exactly.
Yeah, I kind of get into my own head, and I know what I'm talking about. Well, and you own your own business, which mm-hmm. is Performance Strategies, Inc. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what business benefit you found from publishing Finding Your Bootstraps.
Well, when I wrote the book, then I found out that I had to have a website to promote my book, and I didn't want to do that either because I thought, no, well, nobody's going to do that, look at that, or whatever. But finally, I did do that, and from gaining the courage in working through the traumas and gaining the courage in writing the book and the web and doing the website, I branched out, started my own company, which was something I had always wanted to do as well.
Well, and I know that you've actually written another book as well. I mean, you mentioned your humor book. Can mm-hmm. you tell us a little bit about that and what the title of that is?
Right. It's There's Something Funny About Humor and Presentations. I love those long titles.
That's a great title.
I know.
I love that.
Knew you would like that, Stone.
Well, as you mentioned, I'm president-elect of National Speakers Association Georgia Chapter. So, of course, I do public speaking, and so does Stone, and so do you.
Right.
And humor is really a slippery slope when you use it in public speaking. So you really have to know what you're doing, but it is such a powerful tool. And if we can't laugh at ourselves, we're in deep trouble. So the book actually talks about how to use humor, where to find humor, and the impact that it has. And it's actually good for our health to laugh.
Well, and I agree with that. So can you tell us like one of the tips or one of the points of how people can use humor in their presentations?
Right. Well, you use it to make points, and also you use it to break up, you know, dull material. These people that get up and talk about statistics with no humor in them.
And their audience is going to
sleep. Right, exactly. So it's great to make a point. It's great to entertain your audience. And it's great to help them remember what you said, which is what you want them to do in the first place.
And it does wake them up.
I mean, yes, it does.
When you laugh, like you said, physically, it helps you. It gets more blood to your brain. It makes everything kind of light up
right.
inside. So
exactly.
That's wonderful.
And I'll do another plug for myself. See, I've created a monster here. I just completed a resume book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's an e-book, and it'll be out, I hope, in a couple of weeks.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
And so that's something that people can find just on your website.
Right, yeah. It'll be on a Diane Bogino website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrific. So we mentioned just a little bit that you're the co-founder of the Georgia Business Directory Network, and I was privileged to be interviewed by you a few weeks ago.
Great guest.
Thank you, and it was a lot of fun. So so just to let everybody know that what that is that you actually do video interviews mm-hmm. and then make them available both on YouTube as well as on the Georgia Business Directory website so folks have exposure to people that come to that site to look for folks within a certain category.
Right. My husband and I were looking at these directories, you know, people register on webs for business directories to to promote their companies, and we decided, well, they just sit there. They're not getting anything. So we said, okay, they can register their company. They can write articles. They can post a picture. They can put their logo on there. They can tell a little bit about their company. And then I had the idea I'd like to do videos, and I guess that came from my stint in doing commercials, that I thought I could do that. So I did, and it's just been great. And people have given me great compliments on it, and I enjoy doing it. I love promoting people. That's one of the things I really like to do. So it has really been a good fit for me.
Well, and can you tell our listeners, let's promote you a little bit. How can people find you? What are the best websites for them to find you, and how do they find you, buy your books?
Well, performstrat.com is my business website. Findingyourbootstraps.com is for that book. And then Georgia Business Directory is Georgia Business Directory Network. Or Georgia Business Directory.net, or they can just go to GBDN-TV.
Okay, great. So if you'll hang out with us, we're going to go shift to the second part of today's show to discuss the new initiative that the local National Speakers Association chapter is starting. As I mentioned in Diane's intro, she's the incoming president of the Georgia chapter of the National Speakers Association, and I would love for you to contribute to this part of the conversation, in addition to Dr. Tim is going to join us for this. Dr. Tim's company, Right Choice Services, is a sponsor and a vendor member of the Georgia chapter of NSA. For over 15 years, Tim and Right Choice Services have helped individuals to discover their writing voice and to take greater strides toward achieving their writing dreams. Dr. Tim is helping head up this initiative to create writing groups for members interested in writing a book. Welcome, Dr. Tim.
I'm allowed to talk again?
You're allowed to talk now.
I don't have to wave my arms and ask permission. Oh, this is fun.
It is fun. I'm so glad we're going to have this conversation. I think it's exciting. So, Diane, let me go back to you for just a second. What are some of the benefits of being a member of National Speakers Association?
Well, we are an award-winning chapter, and we have great programs.
Woohoo!
Yes. And, I mean, it's not just for speakers, because speakers do other things. Consultants are members, authors are members, and trainers are members. And the programs that we put on really help people to build their business and be the best in their business and deliver the products and services that their clients like.
Because virtually any business requires some sort of presentation skills.
Absolutely.
So why is it important? I would like each of you to answer this question. Why is it important for the members of NSA to write a book? Tim, what do you think?
It's important for everybody to write a book, but especially speakers, because when speakers go out, the crowd anticipates there being back table sales, if you will. The book you can leave behind to remind people of who you are, what you promoted, your concepts, your ideas, whatever. Or in advance, when you're trying to market yourself, you send the book out to the people who are booking speakers to say, my message is going to come out of this, or this is a sample of what, you know, before we went on air, Stone was showing us his Never Fry Bacon in the Nude, second edition.
Which I love the title of that book.
And it does have some marketing legs.
Yeah, and that came out of a keynote address that you did, correct?
Yes, sir.
And then you have used that subsequently to market your speaking.
Yeah, and so when I first started speaking professionally, I didn't feel like I could make the financial investment to do a demo tape. In the old days, I'm dating myself now, but you had to actually send a physical demo tape to speakers, bureaus, and to prospective clients, or at least that was the expectation. And so, but I would send this, and I would say, if you like the book, you're going to love the keynote. If you don't like the book, you shouldn't hire me.
Don't call Stone.
Because I'm going to say something, I'm going to say that or something very much like it, and... And then it also helped me command higher fees. So it was,
yeah. And that's the other piece. You know, if you have a substantive book, you can get a higher fee. And I really want to emphasize that, because unfortunately there are people who have written books that they take up paper.
Right. So it is important to put a quality book out.
Yes, exactly.
And make sure that it's a good book. Mm-hmm. So I one of our shows a couple of months ago, we interviewed several people that had written books to leverage their speaking engagements, and we shared a statistic there that I think bears repeating. It's a statistic that the National Chapter of NSA put out in March of 2011, but it said the National Chapter has about 3,000 members, and they released a statistic that 55% of members are authors, and more than half earn $5,000 or more for a full-day engagement. I thought that was really very powerful.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, having a book and having a good book makes a difference. And you know, I was asked to help coordinate get started writing groups with NSA Georgia. It was fascinating. We had the initial gathering. It'll be 2 weeks ago this coming Saturday. I think about 20 people gathered around. All came anticipating, didn't know what, but they came with anticipation. We liked that. And what I did, I simply began by asking them, what do you want out of a group? And as I listened to them each speak individually, and I took notes as we went around, I realized that some of them really don't need a writing group, at least not to begin with. They need a writing coach and then go into a writing group. But they wanted accountability. They wanted critiquing. And they wanted ideas on how to proceed. Well, my thought was, if you take a whole bunch of first-time writers and put them together in a coaching group to help one another, that's sort of like the blind leading the blind.
Right.
And so after I got all that done and I wrote down, I said, okay, here's what I hear you all saying. I boldly, and of course that is not a surprise to anybody around here, I boldly said, hey, with our time remaining, why don't I just give you what I give to everybody in my freebie, my first conversation with you about writing. And they sucked that up. And so I talked about the myths about writing and the myths about publishing and the myths about getting rich and the reality behind it all. You are rich from your book, right, Stone?
Well, indirectly.
Internally, right?
Right. I'm happy.
Yeah. And I know Diane came in here with a big check for all of us, right? From all of your books.
Yeah, right.
And that, you know, and that's the reality of it. That's the reality, and that's the first thing, and it always caused some jaw-dropping. So what I did out of that is I said to folks, okay, now here's where we are. We know what you all want to do. So let's figure out how we want this done. And I invited, challenged, and encouraged each one of them to email me with the following information. The 150-word synopsis of the book they think they're going to write. Their target market. And the genre. Now, what's the book? Is it going to be a business book? Is it going to be fiction? Is it going to be probably going to be the basis of their keynote speech? But I need that stuff, and I need your zip code. Out of those 20 people so far,
and their zip code, so you could put them up
geographically,
match them up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you. And the idea is, I'll take all of that information, turn around, and email it back, and then they're on their own to create their groups. Out of that 20 so far, two people have responded. And a third one talked to me yesterday about retaining me, my services. And am I surprised? Not really, because it just hit the people with the reality. If you want to write, you have to know what you're going to write before you can talk about what you're going to write. And that's the basis of the 150-word synopsis.
Well, and I think you and I both have talked to clients and potential clients that have been writing for years, and they don't have a book because they haven't really determined who their target market is, and they
exactly.
don't really know what their purpose of their book is, what they're writing about. They just write all this stuff and then can't figure out how to make it work together.
Yeah, but if they'd realize the credibility it can bring to them.
Right.
I had a guest on GBDN TV last week who said the reason he wrote his book was because when he would give a speech, people would say, well, do you have something for us that you can leave with us? And he said, no. And he said it kept happening. And so finally he says, I really should write a book. And he did. He made the point that some people want to rehash mm-hmm. what you had mm-hmm. to say. Some mm-hmm. people want to learn at a slower pace. So it's good to have that book for your audience.
Yeah. Well, what surprised me out of this group is these are speakers. They should know what they're talking about. You know?
Yeah, thanks.
They should be able to say in 150 words or less what they're about. And I think it was a credibility call, accountability call for them. But out of it, they are going to be better prepared for writing.
Right.
And Bonnie Daneker was there as well. She came in. She and I at one level are competitors, but overall we're just good colleagues and we send work back and forth because there's plenty of work for both of us. But I know that a few people spoke with her afterwards and probably will become clients, some signed on with me.
Bonnie is considerably more attractive than Dr. Tim. Those of you who don't know Bonnie and Dr. Tim.
But she did say, Bonnie did say last week in front of the group, he is handsome. She hasn't told you that,
is.
Stone.
No, that's fine. So, Diane, I'm curious, just within your chapter, what your impression is of the speakers that are part of your chapter that have written books versus not written books, and the level of success that they achieve in their speaking career.
Yeah, day and night. That credibility factor, you just simply cannot ignore it. But on the other hand, if it weren't for people who don't do what they're told, like Tim said, where would he be? Yeah?
Right.
So we need you.
Well, and the purpose of that kind of a group is people learn. I mean, people learn what is expected to be successful and what the people that are really successful are doing,
right,
and what they can do to emulate that.
Right. And it's never just one thing. People have this, talking about myths, people have this idea that, okay, if I just do this one thing, I'm going to be rich and famous. Woohoo! Wrong. You just have to do. That's why we have so many social media spots on the web. You've got to write the book. You've got to do the speaking. You've got to do the marketing. You've got to do the promotion. You've got to shake hands. I mean, you got to put yourself out there in so many different ways to bring that success, especially today.
Well, and when I'm working with clients on marketing, I mean, that's what I say to them. If there was one way to do it that worked for everybody, everybody would do it that way.
That's right.
And so it really depends on what you're marketing, who you're marketing to, how they like to receive information, and how they're going to pay attention to what you're putting out there. So it's a little different for everyone.
Right.
And NSA Georgia is doing all it can to help its members and the vendor members as well with the speakers. I go to most of the meetings and listen and walk away with stuff that helps me when I work with my clients, because the stuff that's pertinent to speakers are pertinent to writing as well. And I also want to lift up the First Friday Coffee. That's what it's called, isn't it?
This Friday Steamer, I think it's called.
No, that's the Tuesday Steamer at a bar with beer. trust me, it's the First Friday.
Okay. I thought they had changed that, but maybe not.
No, you're the new
president. You can do whatever you want. You can beer every day, right?
Yeah. But the First Friday is held at La Madeleine down in the perimeter
with
area.
With Kenny Zale, yes.
Yeah, and... Yeah. It met a week ago, I guess it was last Friday, whenever the First Friday in January was.
Mm-hmm.
And what came out of that group, and it's you know, an open forum for discussion, and even people who are not members of NSA are invited to attend. And what came out of that conversation was just one gentleman had just had his book published. He used one of the subsidy presses, and he was stymied about marketing, you know, and he couldn't understand why people just weren't flocking to him buy the book. And I said, oh man,
I should give him my mom's number. She bought a lot of my books.
But you know, that's one of those things that NSA does offer to the community as a whole, particularly to their members. There's a forum for the discussing of these things, and all of those who were gathered around, and a couple of my clients who are members of NSA were there as well. And so it was a learning session for everybody.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have our regular program on the third Saturday of every month. But after that, we also have a learning program that goes from like 1 to 3, where they often work with people one-on-one. So, and then the two meetings that Tim was just referring to, the coffee at Madeleine's and then the steamer, which is actually turned into the beer bust, I guess you want to say.
And I know non-members can actually attend your regular meetings. Is it two meetings that they can attend before they have to decide if they're going to join or not? So,
yeah.
So they can come check it out and see if that's something that is of interest to them.
Yeah. As far as I know, they can come as long as they pay their money. I mean,
okay.
But, of course, they really get many more benefits because you can't put your information on the website if you're not a member. But, of course, there is criteria for becoming a member. You know, you have to give so many speeches or make so much money in a certain period of time.
But like you said, there's several different levels of membership.
Absolutely. There's an associate membership, and they are entitled to some perks. But when you're a member, you get all the perks. So it's really important to pursue that.
And then there's vendor members, which
right, exactly.
Dr. Tim's company is a vendor member. So.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
They're very valuable to us, to NSA Georgia, because we don't always know where to go to do what we need to do. And as he just pointed out, people need coaches for writing. You do illustrations. We need to find out who to go to for that. And those are not just people you meet on the street.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and designing their covers and putting their books together.
Right.
And I know that one of my clients who I put her book together last year is Sandy Weaver Carmen, and she went through the ProPath program, which is a year-long intensive program to train people really to make that leap into being professional speakers much quicker. Can you describe that a little bit?
Oh, gosh. John Schwartz does that. Now, John Schwartz has got a background like you can't believe. He has been in show business. He does murder mysteries. He has a character called Vinnie Varelli. John has the background for performing and helping you to deliver what your audience wants. And he knows the business end of it. Let me tell you, he'll set you straight in a heartbeat and doesn't have a problem telling you. So he has the tough love end of learning how to really do speaking and do it well.
Well, and I know that they're forming that program for this year right now, that if people are interested in that,
absolutely,
they can still join, because they keep it very small. They keep it to
intentionally,
10 or 12 people.
Absolutely,
So if folks are interested in that, they can check that out as well. So I know that we're getting close to the end of our time, but and thank you for talking to me about this new initiative that NSA is doing. Can you share with us how people can find out more about NSA and find out about the programs and what the website is?
Well, the best thing to do is to go to nsageorgia.org.
And is it spelled out Georgia or GA?
It's nsaga.org. Yes, and all of the information they need is right on there, resources, the phone numbers, the directions to our meetings, when we meet. And you know, I will often tell people, keep looking at that website. And if you don't want to go to every meeting, find a meeting that you think is of interest to you and go to that one and then make a decision from there. But I will tell you, you will not find a better group of people to meet with. We're the kind of people that fall all over ourselves to help other people. And you really can benefit not only from the lessons you learn, but from the relationships you form. And without people like you and Doctor here, we would just be lost.
Well, and it is so nice when you're trying, especially when you're starting something new and doing those little baby steps.
Right,
exactly. To find somebody that knows what they're doing that can help you along the way and
exactly,
you know, cheer you along the way.
That's exactly right.
So kudos to both of you for helping so many people with their speaking and their book writing.
And kudos on the garlic rolls at Scalene's.
Oh, thank you.
And
my God.
And they're so good for you.
They are
so good for
you. They keep vampires away you can't believe.
I mean, my wife and I we love Scalene's.
Thank you.
And if you're pregnant.
And my son's single, so.
If you're pregnant, you should go to Scalene's if you're ready to have your baby.
Has the eggplant parmesan. That's exactly right. I'm the original eggplant parmesan mom.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Well, our clock is on us. We welcome your comments and suggestions about content and about our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or would like to be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Send us an email, whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thanks for Dr. Tim for allowing me to host today's show. And thank you to our guests, Diane Bogino and Dr. Tim Morrison. Diane, can you please share your contact information again so people can find you?
Yes, you can go to performstrat.com. That's my website, or findingyourbootstraps.com. My phone number is 404-320-7834. Give me a buzz. I'd love to chat with you about joining NSA Georgia.
Excellent. And Dr. Tim, how do people get in touch with you?
I thought you would never ask.
Please tell us.
Because you didn't at the end of my interview.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. It's Tim at Wright, W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com.
And people can also go to our Right Here, Right Now website, Right Here, Right Now.
They can go there. They can go to the rightchoiceservices.com website. They can go to the I get the Gmail that's sent to whwnbusinessradiox.com.
You are just so accessible.
I try.
You try. That's great. So Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services at www.rightchoiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week. Tell your friends about the show. In fact, how about sending them an email right now to invite them to listen live or to the downloads? Listen to Right Here, Right Now live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. at righthererightnow.businessradiox.com. Or download the MP3 version of all the interviews on the Right Here, Right Now website. I am the guest host, Vanessa Lowry. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business, right here, right now.